Thank the Lord for the song service tonight. Trust God's burdens to us tonight will complement the presence of the Lord. I'm glad tonight the Bible teaches us that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To be justified means to be placed in a right standing. And thank God tonight that we can have a right standing with God. That our sins, one songwriter said, my sins that were many have been nailed to the cross and I bear them no more. So we thank the Lord tonight that that justification, He took our sins and He bore them on Calvary. And when you and I repented, when we were born from above, we were justified in His sight. And those sins that were many are passed away now. So thank the Lord tonight. So many reasons why I love the Lord. So many reasons I can't count them. Let's think about having peace with God and look at it from the standpoint of God's judgment upon us. God willing to look at us and God willing to consider us. Sometimes we, as humans, we kind of shy away from judgment. Not just only God's judgment, but man's judgment. To be judged is not a comfortable position. Even if we know we've done the job right. Until we get the stamp of approval, the inspector's signature on something, we always have that little bit of an uncomfortable feeling. Or maybe what if. Another aspect of being judged is sometimes it causes me and you want to defend our position. I'm glad tonight as we look at God giving us peace that we can have confidence that we heard about this morning in God's judgments. That God's judgments are for our good. God's judgments are to correct us, not to punish us, but that we might be with Him through eternity. So thank the Lord tonight for judgment in that sense. As a human, I have to rise above my preconceived ideas of being judged and look at it from the standpoint that His judgments are true, they're right, they're holy, and they are for my benefit, and they're for my good. What does God judge? Over in Ezekiel, I want to consider that a moment. Seventh chapter of Ezekiel, in the 8th verse. The Lord had some things against Israel at this time. He had some things in His mind that He wanted to tell them. And they were things that had separated Him from them, or them from Him. So He sent Ezekiel and others with stern, firm, but yet loving messages of judgment. And listen to what He said in the 7th chapter and the 8th verse, considering judgment. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and accomplish mine anger upon you. And I will judge thee according to thy ways. My little burden tonight. How the Lord is looking down on my way and on your way. And He has a great interest in the way that I take, the actions of my life, the thoughts of my mind, the intent of my heart. He's observing that. He's considering that. He's comparing that. And He's weighing that. And as He looks on it, He has a great desire in the way that I take, the life that I live, to remake me if necessary, to correct me if necessary, that my ways will stand or my ways will be right in His judgment. He told Israel that I'm not going to judge you according to the Ethiopians or I'm not going to judge you according to the Egyptians, or I'm not going to judge you according to the Syrians. I'm not going to judge you according to the Romans or whomever may have been in power at that time. He said, I'm going to look on how you're living. I'm going to look on your conduct. I'm going to look on your thoughts. I'm going to look on your ways. Tonight, let's think about that a little bit. Most of us, well, there is a trait in man, I'll say it that way, that does tend not to enjoy his ways being looked upon for the sake of judgment. But we must, as we said earlier tonight, consider that God's judgments are for our benefits. He wants you and me to go to heaven. Think about that. When we judge our children, I trust that we have judged them and do judge them in the utmost love and care for them. Sometimes they misunderstand that. Sometimes they even disagree with that. But we know our heart, don't we? And we know that child's welfare is sacred to us. We know their safety is paramount to us. And when they skin their knee and when they break their leg or when they hurt themselves and when they're disappointed, something inside of my heart or your heart as a parent is also hurting. And then when we go to them in judgment, if you will, correction, if you will, we go to them with one reason and one reason only, to help them, to encourage them, to lift them out and point them in the right direction. When we observe their way is dangerous, when we observe their way is contrary to a way of peace, when we observe their way is going to have consequences that they're not aware of, we judge that, we look on that, and we consider that. And by the grace of God, we have a heartfelt desire to change them, and to correct them. God's judgment, God's, as a father, pitieth his children, so the father pitieth them that fear him. We are, in the Bible, we have given to us the instruction manual, if you will. It's more than that. It's the living word of God. It is the testimony of the divine. It tells us of his character. It tells us of his desire. It tells us of his holiness, his righteousness. It tells him, us, of his great love for you, for me. It tells us of his great power and his great authority and his power to create something from nothing. It tells us of what he's looking for in his creation. He comes and he looks for the sweetest of wine and the sweetest of grapes. Sometimes he finds wild grapes, and he judges that. Not to cast us out of the vineyard, but that we might look at our own selves, consider our own ways, and that we might be healed, that we might be corrected. God has a standard. Today we live in a society, and it's probably getting a little more so, that there is no standard. Conduct is subjective. Do you know this world doesn't have a lot of peace? This world doesn't have a lot of real joy. The world doesn't have anything substantial that they can count on, really. And they're always being, and I say that to the same degree to us as people, we're always disappointed in ourselves. We're always disappointed in the government. I don't know what I feel towards the government and the FEMA. Can you understand a little bit the daunting, the terrible task that lay ahead of the people there? And they had to do some good, but all we hear about is their mistakes. Think about the government and their, let's say they have a real honest desire to have peace. But aren't we always disappointed in that effort? Their judgments are tainted by their own feelings. This world has not found what it wants. But I am thankful today that God is the King of Peace, and he wants to come and judge us. So we have shied away from judgment. We've turned away from it. Every man has gone to his own tent. Everyone seems to be thinking that his way is right. And we've lost. I'm speaking as a person in society, we've lost the way of the Lord. Hence, we've lost his peace. We've lost his joy and fulfillment. Life is not I don't know. If you study history, life never was sacred to people. Oh, there's been segments of society and all. But you look at wars and genocide and the infanticide and all the various things that's taken place. Life never has had a real sacredness to mankind in whole. Life today doesn't have a sacredness like it once had. If it was it ever better. But God has a standard. Standard for conduct. Standard for a way to live. As we go on in this little thought about judgment, God is looking down on us tonight. He's looking down on our thoughts. He's looking down on our ways. But above that, even there's going to come a day when He is going to actually return to His creation, and He's going to judge us all. He's going to judge us according to how we lived, how we acted, how we treated one another, how we treated Him, how we obeyed or how we did not obey. He's going to return and He's going to ask us to give an account. Tax time's coming around. You done your taxes yet? Did you know tax time is always kind of a time that we do our best, send it in, and sure hope they don't call us. Even if we feel confident, we're being honest. Giving an account is not a very peaceful place to be in. And we always recognize that maybe the one that's asking us to give an account is trying to trap us. Well, I'm glad God's not trying to trap us. I'm glad God is trying to free us. And He wants you and me to give a good report as much, if not more, than I want to give a good report at the judgment. He's really wanting me and you to be innocent before Him, totally honest and innocent. And I believe God is looking forward with joy to that reunion of His saints, with His saints, and we'll forever be with Him. He wants us. Oh, He wants us to be able to have a good report. So He's going to come and He's going to give an account, ask us to give an account. So consider this tonight in your life. And don't be afraid of it, but thank God for it. He's constantly observing us. And He's going to judge us, as He told Ezekiel to tell Israel, according to our ways. Over in Isaiah, it's a very beautiful passage of Scripture that kind of causes your heart to long for something. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Maybe in the first verse we'll read the whole chapter, 10 verses. God has sent judgment down through the ages. God has sent correction. But He always tempers that with a hope and with a promise. And as God judges you and me, He also comes and lets you and me know, I've got something better than that. I've got something better than your way. I've got something better than the world's way. I've got something better than the world's peace. I've got something better than what man says is available. The wilderness, the 35th chapter of Isaiah, the wilderness and the solitary places shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Sometimes in people's lives, we get ourselves in rather precarious places. We find ourselves in a less than a good place. And it seems like a desert. Seems like a jungle, maybe. Seems like a place where there's not much beauty. The Lord is willing to come in those places and judge us there so that our desert can blossom like a rose. The Lord wants a garden in our heart. Paradise is garden. It's a park. And God wants that in us, living in us. And He said, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of God. Strengthen ye the hands and confirm the feeble knees. God looks on us and He recognizes in His judgment weak spots. Places that have caused us trouble. That are causing us trouble. And He's not looking to say, you made your own bed, lie in it. But He's looking at us to say, will you let me help you? Will you let me instruct you? Will you let me correct you? Brother Tony spoke on that a little bit today. Lord, help us then to have confidence in God that we will allow Him that prerogative, that right away in our heart that He can judge us. And He sends forth His Word, not necessarily over the pulpit, He sends forth His Word to us to heal us. He said He sent His Word and He healed them. Let's have confidence in God that when He does judge us and we find ourselves weak, and we find some feebleness in us, that we recognize it's God's intention to strengthen those weak places. It's His intention to water the desert. It's His intention to bring fruit out of the barren. It's His intention to bring life where it seems like there's not any. Say to them that are of a fearful heart. We live in a world today that's a lot of fearful hearts. A lot of things, humanly speaking, to be fearful over. You ever heard of bird flu? It's all in the avian flu. It's all over the news, isn't it? Epidemics, pandemics. I don't know whether they're going to happen or not. Some of us grew up in the 60s. Do you remember the bomb shelters? Do you remember those kind of things? Do you remember what you're supposed to do at school if the bomb fell? You're supposed to get under a desk. I hadn't figured that one out yet. But you're supposed to get under the desk. Well, the desk and you were blown away, but you get under the desk, you know. But do you remember those times of fear? Do you remember some of you don't even know, but you kind of heard it from history. You remember the Cuban Missile Crisis? He wants us to be strong and fear not. Did you know His judgments wants to deliver us from fear? Have you ever, and I've been afraid of things. I've had things that I had to conquer and maybe still working on. Have you ever tried to encourage someone that was afraid of something and tried to instruct them on how safe it really is and there's nothing to be afraid of? Have you ever noticed that? That's a daunting task. That's hard to do. To make me think different than I think about something I'm afraid of. But the God of heaven wants to judge among us. He wants to judge in our life. He wants to judge our thoughts. Why? So we can be strong. And His perfect love, He can give us His mind that it'll cast out fear. That He hasn't given us that spirit of fear. But we have to allow Him to judge in us. We have to allow Him the right of way. Your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Thank the Lord tonight. We can launch out in the Lord. The eyes of the Lord blind, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. That's not a magic wand. That's God dealing with an individual. That's God talking to someone and them listening and believing and having confidence and allowing His judgments to work in their life. That's me and you paying attention to what God has to say about a matter and obeying it and letting it work in our life. You see, judgment is something we need every day of our life. We need God's intervention. We need Him to weigh us. We need Him to try us. We need Him to look on us and speak to us. He's not going to come along to the deaf, those that are hard of hearing and their own self-resolve, their self-satisfaction, their stiff-neckedness, and take a wand and wave over them and say, now you can see and now you can hear. That's not what He's speaking of here, I don't believe. I believe He's speaking to those who will allow the judgments of the Lord to come into their life. Bring us out of fear. weakness, out of sin. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. That's a deer. Coming home the other day, there was a deer standing beside the fence. Just a regular, 4.5, 5 foot high barbed wire fence. About that high, about 4.5 feet. And I was driving down our road to our house. And the deer looked at me, looked at that fence, and she was, just here's the fence and here's the deer, right about here. With one spring. If you ever watched a deer jump, there's a moment when they're at the apex of that, that time stands still. And you could get a real good photograph right there, baby. And they're going over. It's just a moment. God wants His people to go forth as a hart, as a deer. No things binding us, holding us back, or preventing us. But the only way we're going to do that is to let God judge us and submit to that judgment. It's not harsh. It's not cruel. It's not vindictive. It's for our good. Leaping. Said one place they'll go, was it leaping and shouting to Zion? Folks, that goes so much deeper than just a physical leaping and the physical shouting. But that's men and women who have been released by the judgment of the Lord. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For it, in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. How do you know you're in a desert? Well, you look around for the signs. One, a lot of sand, not much water. Things grow there that stick you. And there's little animals that go zzz, and they're gone. And the wind usually blows. You can kind of know when you're in the desert. But you know, a lot of times, literally, we can tell so easy. Sometimes, because of who we are and how we're put together, we don't know when we're in an emotional desert. We kind of think that's the way it has to be. I'm glad God comes along and judges us. Judges our ways, judges how we've been acting, judging how we relate to things. And He said, you're in a desert. I want to bring you out of that desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs out of, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons, some kind of beast or animal that's a little bit of trouble there. Where each lay shall be grass with weeds and rushes. So thank the Lord tonight. His judgments are so good. So, so wonderful. Now listen to this. And the highway shall be there. And the way. And shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those the wayfaring man. Though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, and no any ravenous beast shall go upon thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Speaking of a special person or a special people. He's speaking to those who have heard the joyful sound. He's speaking to those who have heard the judgments and obeyed the judgments, who have allowed God to change them, correct them, to turn them away from where they were. And He said, be a highway there. When you begin to think about a highway, I want you to think about something a moment. What if someone had come to you a year or so ago, a couple of years ago, whenever it was, this intersection that they just built out here, rebuilt, I-30 and Division, I-35 and Division, and they would say to you, you've been selected and you have to pay for the cost of that work. What if they said we're going to build a new road and everybody has to pay for a mile of it? What would you say? You'd say, I can't do it. It's too expensive. Highway construction has always been expensive. Always has been. I can remember a time when I worked in highway construction, $1 million a mile was considered, you mean they're spending that much? Well, I've seen 5 and 6 mile jobs go for a couple of $1 million. Of course, that was 30, long time ago. But you know, $1 million doesn't buy much of a highway anymore. Just buys a little portion of the gravel, maybe. Highway construction is very, very expensive. God loved you and me enough to build not just old concrete, asphalt, hot mix highway, not just an old sand, clay, gravel, shell highway, but He constructed for us a way above our way, a highway of holiness, righteousness, and peace, and goodwill. A highway where there's no unclean thing, no ravenous beast, where there's nothing in it that will defile. But I want to tell us tonight, this way was very expensive. It costs the blood of Jesus Christ. Now God is coming to judge us according to our ways. And He knew that the way of man, the path of man, the direction of man was not in Himself. So He provided the way through Jesus Christ. He's going to come back and judge the world in righteousness by this man whom He hath chosen, Jesus Christ. He came and He built a way for me to be in the order of the Lord. Jesus talked to him and Thomas said, how can we know the way? And that's a legitimate question. We don't fault Thomas for saying that. And Jesus said this, I am the way. Lord, help us tonight to recognize God is going to come back and judge us according to our ways. Now, what has He done for us? He's come and He's provided a new way, a highway, a holy way. And He cleaned it and He made it foolproof. Thank the Lord. You ever got on an interstate somewhere and couldn't keep up with the signs? Or maybe there wasn't enough signs? Have you ever got, they got a place down in Dallas, they call it, I believe, the Mixmaster. And I don't know how many roads come together. If I would tell you, it'd probably sound like an exaggeration. But they come from the four quadrants plus the sub-quadrants. And they go over each other, under each other, and look like they go through each other. Turn here, turn here. Don't turn there. If you want to go to so-and-so, better. It can be very confusing. The first thing you know, you'll be headed south when you knew where you wanted to go was Fort Worth, and that's west. But you're going to Austin or somewhere. So then you got to find a place and go down there, turn around and come back and get back, maybe stop somewhere and ask. The Lord has provided a way. It's foolproof. I am the way. And He's going to present Himself to us in His judgments, in His understanding. And have you considered this? Have you looked upon it this way? Someone talked about maybe wanting to write a letter to someone that had hurt them or offended them. You know what kept that letter from going forward, part of it anyway? It was God. He just come along and said, have you thought about this? Have you considered this? That's His judgment. It wasn't harsh. It wasn't ugly. It was just God coming and let me reason with you. Let me talk with you a little bit. I've got a better way. You could write that letter and offend them. But just be still. Know that I'm God. And they might wind up being your best friend someday. God's judgments. They're so right. They're so pure. They're so healthy. They're so blessed. They're so peaceful. They're so full of joy. He said that His way, this highway, was higher than our way too. Thank God for that. How can we know the way? Because Jesus came and showed us the way. How can I have confidence at the throne of grace or at the day of judgment? By taking Christ's way. He said, in all your ways acknowledge Him. You know what He said He'd do, don't you? He said He would direct our paths. He's going to come back. He's going to judge us. Well, the good news is, He's going to come back today and prejudge us. He's going to allow us to look at ourselves. Don't be afraid of that. Now, you may not like everything you see, but be thankful He comes back and judges us. The other day I had a situation, and I was prompted to action. That's talking to someone, and they gave me a little bit of advice, gently and quietly. But you know what? That was the advice I needed. And He took that action and put it back in a mode of prayer and waiting. Someone was able to judge better than I was. God is able to judge better than I am. He's able to see down the road and behind the road and under the road. And He knows what's lying up ahead. And He knows what can happen. You see, children and young people, mom and dad know probably more than you think they do. And they know where a little attitude can take you, because chances are they struggle with it too. But since they can see down the road and say, where you're going, I've already been, their judgments can have some validity to it. May I say, God has great validity to His judgments. Let's be so grateful for Him. He's got a highway of holiness. He's going to come back and He is going to judge us according to our ways. That tells me that I better make sure my ways please Him. And the good news is tonight, that can happen if we forsake sin, if we follow His Son, Jesus Christ, and allow Him to become Lord, and allow Him to reign, and we listen to Him, and pay attention to Him, and we obey Him. His commandments are not grievous. And one day He'll come back, and maybe at the judgment the saints are going to be a little nervous. I can only say I don't know for sure. But He's going to come back on that day, and there's going to be some people He's going to say, well done. That's what we want to hear, isn't it? How shall a man do that? By paying heed to the judgments of the Lord. You pray for me.